Lord Jesus, we come in your presence right now, and we ask you that your sweet Holy Spirit would just guide us and lead us as we go through your word. And we ask you to just open it up, open your word up to us, and give us insight into what you would have us do and what we should do to others, Father. I thank you that for all the people in this class. I ask you to bless them, and I ask you to just give us all ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. And for those of you who don't know her, this is Margaret's sister.
It's Helen. Hi. That's my sister-in-law.
Hi.
Hi, Reed. All of you.
Hi, Sean.
Well, I've met you before.
So, welcome to the Sunday morning discussion group of Wings Christian Fellowship here in Cincinnati. Today, if everybody is willing, we're going to read through chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. So, I don't know, you read it out of the King James last week, and I kind of liked that. Who's our reader today?
King James?
And whatever you know, I liked it out of the King James. But we haven't really heard it out of the Amplified yet.
Did we do it in the Amplified?
We didn't do it last week. We didn't do it last week because
it was long.
You said it's too wordy.
Okay, well then let's do it out of
this. You want me to read out of this?
What is that?
We
didn't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it out of the King James.
Okay. I'll just read it out of that then.
Yeah, okay. You got that with you?
I do.
I love the first. If it were up to me, we could just stay in verse 1.
All right, this is 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, I'm doing it out of the King James, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech ye, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, and see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but never follow that which is, but ever, ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very good God, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, and also will do it. Mm-hmm. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Did anything jump out at anybody that you would like to bring up?
Yeah, I will say something if I may. It's okay. You read, we are children of light. And I didn't realize, I should have realized a long time ago. I kept thinking, we're child of God. But it really hit me when I was, when I was reading about when Jesus, after he died and he reappeared, the Bible says, and Junior could tell you, I can't tell you right off the bat, he appeared to five, he appeared first one, but then he appeared to 500 brothers. That was documented. Yeah. He appeared. And I thought, I don't understand enough about translations, but it said he appeared to 500 brothers.
Yeah.
And it didn't say children. And that's when it hit me that through adoption, we are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the son of the of Jehovah, the great God, Almighty. And I thought, that is so powerful. It just hit me by adoption, by his death and resurrection. We are his, Jesus, brothers and sisters. And through that, that's how we are the children of light.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So anyway, I thought I'd share that.
That's good.
Co-inheritors with him.
Mm-hmm.
How, I mean, you can think about that. For 20 years, we never get the full impact of what we inherit because of our association.
Through adoption.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Through adoption.
That we're engrafted in him.
Yeah.
Truly, we're all as one.
One, Romans, the 8th chapter, it basically says that he was the firstborn among many brethren,
Yes.
And you know, a lot of people don't really realize what that means. But when you talk about being the firstborn in the natural, in Scripture, the firstborn always did all the inheriting. But God began to turn that around in Scripture through what he did with various, you know, various people, and the secondborn a lot of times, or begin to get the inheritance, you know. And that's like with, you know, with Jacob, you know, and Esau, you know, how that happened there. And then it was done different times in Scripture. And, you know, Jesus said, these works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these, because I return basically to the Father. So, you know, so the inheritance that we've received is everything that was his. He's given it to us if we would only learn to receive it and to walk in it, you know. A lot of times we walk way below the privilege of what we have, you know, in Christ, you know. And we've already received that inheritance, you know. But a lot of times it's like what it says in Galatians, we're put under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Because even when somebody's supposed to inherit things, and it belongs to them, they don't get it until they grow up enough to be able to handle it in the right way, you know, the natural. And spiritually, that's the same way. So we actually need to ask the Lord to let us begin to grow up spiritually to the point where we can begin to set creation free. We can begin to minister to the world in power and in authority like he wants us to have, you know. And, you know, I believe we're living in a day where God's going to start doing things way more miraculously than what we've even seen in the past. And there's been some tremendous moves of God over the years, but I mean, I honestly believe we're living in a day where it's going to even get greater than that, you know.
Are you talking about natural phenomena or?
I'm talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the world out there. See, he sent the disciples, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, a lot of the gospel that gets preached today is not good news. You know, it's bad news for people. You know, it's about destruction and that they're going to burn in hell and all that kind of stuff. And we need to begin to start preaching the good news to people, because the actual word gospel means good news. It don't mean bad news, you know. And, you know, to a certain extent, a lot of pulpits, you hear the bad news more than you hear the good news. You know, the good news is that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world and that they're forgiven. They just don't know it. And we need to make sure we tell them that they've been forgiven, you know.
It says we've been given the job of reconciliation.
That's right.
That's our only job in this world, is to let people know that they've been reconciled. It's not to say, you know, you're a dirty sinner and you have to repent.
Well, Scripture says he's given us the word of reconciliation. And then he's given us the work of reconciliation too, see. And what was the reconciliation? It was that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. So if he's not imputting their trespasses, who is? Isn't it the church a lot of times? Telling them how bad of sinners they are? Instead of telling them what Jesus did for them, and that they've been set free. Scripture says when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Well, if he led captivity captive, where's captivity at? he took it on high, you know. And a lot of times the people don't real, they read the word, but they don't really read the word. You understand what I'm saying? They read it, but they don't see what it actually says. And, you know, I was reading this morning about Jesus he told the disciples that it was given unto them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, basically. He said, but to everybody else, I'll speak in parables. But in other words, I'm going to explain the parables to you. But and he speaks in natural terms to them in them parables, but a lot of people don't have ears to hear what's being said, or eyes to see what he's doing. And we need to start praying that, you know, that he begin to open the ears of people and open their eyes, that they truly see what his whole purpose for man is, and what his purpose for us to do, the things that we're supposed to do, are, you know. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on for that. Went a little farther than I want. I said a little too much, probably. But
I'd like to understand more.
Yeah.
What children of the light means.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say children of the light are, Jesus was the light of the world.
Yeah.
Okay. And he said in his word that now we're the light. As he is in this world, so are we. We're the light of the world now. But you're the light of the world because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And, you know, what's the difference between darkness and light? Darkness is just the absence of light.
Yeah, I was going to say, the minute the light shows up, darkness disappears.
Yeah, the way the Lord kind of dealt with me one time, and I've shared this with most of you guys in here, you've heard me preach a sermon on this. When I was a little boy, we lived in apartments that didn't have closets. And we had Shifa robes, what they called Shifa robes, or, and you, that's what they used to call them. They were like places where you stored your clothes. They were wooden things that went up against the wall. And a lot of times there wasn't that much room in them, not like the closets we have today, which are walk-in closets and all that kind of stuff a lot of times. But when you'd go to bed a lot of times, we had those old beds that had those cannonball beds, you know, had the posters, you know, bed posters. And sometimes you'd hang your clothes, if you were going to wear them again the next day, on the bedpost, you know. And I can remember as a little kid, different times, waking up in the night when it was dark in the house and thinking that there was somebody standing at the foot of my bed and being really scared. I mean, really scared, where I couldn't go back to sleep, you know. And, you know, I was thinking, oh my God, there's somebody standing at the foot of my bed. You know, I'd be scared. But you know what? As morning came, the light broke in. And then I began to see that for what it was. And I began to realize that there was nothing to be afraid of. That was my shirt and my baseball hat and stuff like that on the end of the bed, you know. And that's really that's the simplest explanation I can give you of the light. We need to show people the light of the Lord, that their fears and their anxieties and stuff begin to go away, you know, because people are really, I think in this day and age, we've got a lot of people who are really scared to death about so many things, you know, and, you know, the Lord has called us to be children of the light, like Mike was saying, and children of the light is that we begin to bring light to them, people, so that they can see things for what they really are, not what they think they are. And, you know.
That really struck a chord with me, where you could see the distinction, or the, how fear brings on darkness, and darkness brings on fear.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're shown the light, the fear goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing in the Bible that it says, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't be anxious for anything. Fear not. Do not fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way, the probably only way to do that is to be in the light. This one verse that says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on these three things: the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope. So we have faith, hope, and love.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing that those three things?
Yeah.
Well, if you truly live in them and live in the day and put those on as your protection, dwell in it, think on it, you know, just like it says down further, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, rejoice evermore.
Mm-hmm.
How could you possibly live in fear?
Right.
Because we're in the world, but we're not of it, just the same as Jesus was in the world, but not of it. And he said, you know, be afraid of nothing, because I've overcome the world. And we are in him. Another thing that when we were talking before that just jumped out at me was when Jesus said, I don't know where it is. I think it's in 1 John somewhere. He said, the glory that I had with the Father, I give to you.
Right.
You know, and so that's that thing of the second born getting the glory.
Right.
The second born getting, getting the... and he says, you know why? And the things that I did, you're going to do. You're going to do greater things than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I go back, I go to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And I regain the glory that I had with the Father. And that was, he is the Father. He is the only begotten Son.
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, his brothers and his sisters.
He is the what?
The only begotten Son.
Oh, okay.
God. And he is, in fact, God. There's a guy I read all the time, and he says, Jesus Christ is God.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people find fault
with
that.
A lot of people have a hard time with that. Yeah,
people find fault with that, but I don't find fault with it.
No.
is God. If you put flesh on God, and, you know, so that he can show us the way, like that bird to get out of the garage door,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, he is God.
Yeah.
And the glory that he had before, he goes back and regains, and he gives us the glory that he had when he was in the flesh on earth.
What Kathy was talking about the bird, one time years ago, the Lord was dealing with me about you know, about kind of setting creation free and that kind of thing, you know, and about, you know, what our part of that was. And I was working in the machine shop, and the first thing that happened was a bee. And I used to have my machine that I ran a lot was right up next to the window, and I could look out the window. And before they built all them buildings down on Seward Road, I could look at this real pretty fence over there, all rotten, and all these flowers growing over the top of it, and it was beautiful, you know, kind of like a country type scene, you know, very pretty. And the sun would shine in the window real bright, you know. But anyway, this bee flew into the shop, and it went up to the window. And I was standing there, and I felt like the Lord was telling me, watch it. You know, and I'm working, but I'm observing this bee as I'm working. I'm looking at it and watching what it's doing. And it's going up, and it's hitting this window. Keep trying to get through the window. It can see those flowers over there. It can see them. And it wants to get there. But there's an invisible barrier for it that it can see through, but it can't pass through. And it keeps banging against the window, banging against the window, banging against the window. Well, I watched it for probably an hour or two while I'm working, you know, and I kind of lost interest in it after a while and quit watching it. Well, I come in the next day, and I walk up there, and it's laying dead on the windowsill. And I thought, well, I could have maybe went up and caught that bee and let it out the door. Well, then, and just to show you how God reinforces things when he's dealing with you about something, it was probably maybe a couple days later, a bird had flown in the shop, and it was up at that window, and it was banging against that window, and banging against that window, and banging against that window. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, now I could get that bird and get it out of here, set it free. And I got a box, and I went up to the window, and I put a box over it. And I kind of slid it around and then closed the box, and I had this bird. Well, see, if the bird had turned around and flew in another direction, there was a huge garage door. Our garage door in the shop was probably about almost as big as that whole wall there. And it was open. It was, you know, real pretty weather outside. It was open. And I took that bird, and I went up to the door, and I opened that box, and I kind of tapped on the back of that box, and watched it fly off into the heavens. You know, and the Lord was telling me, he says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, mm-hmm. but the ends thereof are the way of death. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, you know, this makes me cry. I think about, you showed me that visually, Lord, in the natural. You reinforced that. The things of the natural declare the things of the spirit.
Yes.
And I was thinking, you know, I could have caught that bee and done the same thing, but I didn't. And because I watched it bang up against that glass and keep doing that and doing that and doing that, mm-hmm. and thinking it was going to be okay, the next morning it was laying on the windowsill dead.
It was struggling.
It was struggling, yeah. And see, what the Lord was showing me, he said, son, I've called you to set people free. I've called you to tell them there's only one way.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times you hear people out there preaching, oh, there's a lot of ways, you know. No, there's one way.
Jesus.
There's only one. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Yeah. There's no other door. Mm-hmm. He's the door that when he's the door, you have to go through the door of the sheepfold. Mm-hmm. You know, people can say, oh, well, bless God, you know, everybody else. But the problem is, and I know this because I feel like the Lord has shown this to me different times. The thing about it is that, yes, there's only one way, And that's for you to bow your knee and confess that he is your Lord. But what does Scripture say about that? How many people are going to do that? Scripture says every knee shall bow.
Yes.
Every tongue shall confess. Now, when they do that, is he going to set them free? He's the door. If they're at the door and they confess that that's the door,
yes.
Guess what? They can fly off into the heavenlies too, so to speak. You know. So, you know. The Lord, he showed me a lot of things very visually, you know, very visually like that, you know. And he showed me that with a bee, and he showed me that with a bird. And he also showed me one time, he showed me about a tree, you know. You know, we sang a song, "Thank God I'm a tree planted by living waters. My leaves shall not wither, my roots go down deep, and all that I do, God said I would prosper. We're trees of the Lord, and we're planted by him."
Amen.
You know, and we are trees of the Lord.
Yes.
And what are we supposed to bear? We're supposed to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, all of those kind of things. And in Revelations, there was two trees. And the trees, the leaves on the tree, which shows that it had life, that's how you know a tree has life. If you see leaves on it, you know it's alive. We went to on vacation one time. We had a big maple tree in the back of our yard. And we went on vacation one time, and we came back. And when we came back, the leaves were falling off the trees, and they started turning brown and stuff, and it was the summer. And I thought, what in the world's happening to our tree? And we happened to have a guy that lived across the street from us at that time that was a landscaper. You know, his parents owned places where they sold trees and bushes and all that stuff. And when I went over and I got him, and I said, "Buddy, would you mind looking at our tree?" He came back and looked at our tree, and he went and looked at it closely. And he said, "You have borers in your tree." There was little holes in the tree, all over the tree. He said, "You have borers that have bored into your tree." And he said, "They've killed it. It's killed it." And that was a short span of time that happened, you know. And I'm thinking, but the leaves started turning and was falling off. Well, I had to cut that tree down. It was pretty big maple tree. But you know, when we come to realize that we are trees of the Lord, we're supposed to invite people to take of the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the temperance, and all those things, you know. And when I think when people really see that fruit, they'll desire to have that fruit. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things where God shows you things. When he shows you things visually, nothing can take that away from you, because it's a picture, and you've seen it, and you know exactly.
It's real to you.
Yeah, you know, and you know, the Lord dealt with me one time about the little foxes that spoil the vine, and I thought, what in the world? He gave me that word one time, little foxes that spoil the vine, and I kept asking the Lord, what does that mean? What does that mean? I came to church on a Sunday, and Brother Eddie got up, and he started preaching about the little foxes that spoil the vine. And when he was preaching about the little foxes that spoil the vine, it's the little things that really kill. It was the little thing that killed that tree. Them little teeny borers had bored into that tree all over the place on that tree and killed it, you know. And it's the little things. So Scripture tells us we're not to despise the day of little things, you know. The little things in Christ are as important as the big things. If we don't do the little things, he'll never let us do the big things, you know. But, you know, I hope this makes sense to you, what I've just said to you, but that's truly, we've been given that ministry of reconciliation. We're to reconcile people. How do we reconcile them? By telling them what Jesus has already done, what he's already accomplished. He was crucified one time. He can't be crucified again. He's already been crucified, you know. And like I said last Sunday in my message, basically, you know, when we were talking about for Easter, you know, part of the message for Easter, you know, Christ not only died, but then Scripture tells us that we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but who? Christ in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know, and you know, we have to begin to really walk in what His Word declares and begin to not only say it, but believe it. We are crucified with Christ. And we've been resurrected. Scripture tells us we were resurrected in Him. So if we believe that, we'll begin to walk more in newness of life, you know. Well, praise the Lord. I'm preaching a sermon here. I don't mean to do that.
I've been hesitant to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it goes back to what I asked you about the light.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a daughter who, when I read this again and it talks about in the darkness,
mm-hmm.
she's in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
She believes in witchcraft and vampires and all this garbage that goes on right now that you see. And it really hurts to see her there.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a friend since, well, my daughter's 38, and we were friends, we're real estate friends since she was 16. And he's an atheist, and he called me, of all times, Easter morning. He's in Ecuador. And he goes, "Hey, Helen," he said, "I was just thinking about that man that you called Jesus." And I said, "Okay." He said, "You know, he hung out with prostitutes." And I said, "Yeah, he did. He hung out with Mary Magdalene and other prostitutes and thieves. He hung out with thieves." And I said, "He did that so he could tell them about his father and bring them to the Lord." And they go, "I don't believe it." But I thought to myself, after we talked, I thought, he called me Easter morning. He's always telling me this stuff. And I even thought about at one point moving to Ecuador and then having, you know, a relationship or even marriage with this man. Because we talk and we're good friends. And, you know, he's been at the funeral of both my husband, anyway, it's a long story. But of all things, to call me Easter morning and attempt to proselytize me to his atheism, you know?
Yeah.
And then later I sent him a text message. I haven't heard from him at all.
Well,
you know, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And, you know, he hung out in a street where they were, you know. But it does hurt. It really?
It does.
It hurts.
To continue,
But she's heard the word.
Has struggled all of her life.
Yeah.
All of her life. She's 51 years old. And we talk to her occasionally about God and stuff.
It's best if we don't, though.
Is she what?
But she
it's best if we don't talk about God to her.
Yeah, it is.
It's just because she loves the argument, the intellectualism of argument.
He does too.
And it means nothing
when
you talk about
it. She wants, for everything positive that we might say, she'll try and find 10 things negative.
Can't have
she just loves
rebuke
the interaction
it.
Of the argument. It's not wanting to learn anything new for her own life.
And it's to the point where we've had to let her go, and she's going to have to struggle. And I know I pray for her every day that the Lord will intervene in her life. You know, Justin, it's just like when you were talking, how the Lord intervened in your life. That's what she needs, you know. And that's what, I mean, when I read this verse again, it just reminded me of that so much. That the only thing I can do is try to be the light.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can do. I can't do anything else.
No, because you can't see.
You know, I was just reading this morning, and it's funny that you said that about the prostitutes and stuff. I was just reading this morning, you know, when I was downstairs, I opened this thing up and I was looking at some things, and I was just reading about the woman sitting at Jesus' feet, you know, and she was weeping and taking her hair, which a woman's hair is her glory, you know, I mean, it is, because, you know, women probably in this country probably spend more money on hair products. They could probably feed everybody around the world on hair products. And I'll have to say they kid me about combing my hair so much, and I do comb my hair. I like my hair, what little bit I got left, and I do comb it. My one grandson told Jennifer one time. She says, "If grandpa, is there anything you want of his?" And Josh says, "I want his comb." He wants my comb. I said, "Well, you can have my comb if I'm dead, but he's getting it before then." but anyway, you know, here she's sitting at his feet and she's weeping. And she's taking her hair and she's washing his feet with her hair and her tears. And she anoints his feet with oil, you know. And he says to the Christian people that were there, his followers, see, he's in their house. And some of the Pharisees and stuff are sitting there thinking, if he's really a prophet and he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't be letting her do that to his feet and stuff. And no, that's just the opposite. Just the opposite of what he would be doing. And you know... He said, I came into your house. And he said, you didn't offer me any water for my feet. And there was a tradition, and I don't know if it was like this over in Africa or not, but there was a tradition back then, because when you walked down the streets, the animals and stuff used the bathroom in the street. People would toss sometimes their waste out into the street, you know. The first thing that people were supposed to do when you went in their house was they wanted you to take your shoes off, usually, because you've been walking in sandals, you know, and you know how sandals are. They cover the bottom of your foot, but not the top. And the first thing they were supposed to do was offer you water to wash your feet, you know. And that was to get rid of the stench and everything that was on your feet. And you know... He told him, you didn't even offer me water for my feet. And he said, and this woman has not ceased to cleanse my feet with her tears. And I mean, and she was a prostitute. It was probably Mary Magdalene, you know. And when you think about that, that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to help cleanse the world. He wants us to wash the feet of the people out in the world. When Jesus was at the Last Supper, after the supper was completed, it says he laid aside his garments and took a towel, Scripture says. And that's a bad translation. He took a linen and wrapped himself in linen and bowed down and started washing their feet. Now, you know, there was 12 of them. So that's 24 sets of feet. That's a lot of feet. And if they hadn't washed their feet when they first come in, they had some dirty, dirty feet. And by the time he got down to Peter, Peter said, Lord, and it makes me cry when I think about Peter, because he realized who Jesus was. You know, he had the revelation that he was the Christ, you know. And he said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And why did he say that? He saw what he knew was the Christ there with all of this filth on his body. He was taking the filth of everybody's walk upon himself. And he's doing that. And, you know, when you realize that what that says there in the Old Testament, when the high priest would go in on the Day of Atonement, he laid aside some of his priestly garments and he put on linen garments, And the reason he put on linen garments, linen was the no-sweat garment. And back years ago, before we had all these custom blends and all that stuff, men in the summertime would put linen suits on because it was cool. It kept you cool, kept you from sweating. And Jesus had wrapped himself. He was showing that he was the real true high priest. He wrapped himself in linen and washed their feet. And all the filth of their walk was upon him. And Peter said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And Peter said, well, I'm not my feet, my head, my hands, everything. Yeah. Peter was always exuberant. He went overboard and everything. But that was good because God liked that. And, you know, he said, well, then wash my feet. You know, and he washed his feet. He said, you don't know what I did to you. He said, but if me being your Lord and Master have washed your feet, then basically he was saying, you go out and do this to everybody else, you know. And the stuff about people pointing at somebody, oh, they're a terrible sinner, or even the situation with your daughter, you know, and with your friend, you know. Yes, they're bound right now. They're walking in mistaken identity. But the thing that will change them, just like what changed Mary Magdalene, was the presence of Jesus. Yes. And when she got in the presence of Jesus, she couldn't do anything but bow down his feet and cry and basically wash his feet, you know. Yeah. And, you know, we just don't understand. So all this stuff is so simple. If we would just really see what God's doing, and even in his word, it's so daggone simple. And that's what he wants us to do to mankind out there. He wants us to wash their feet. Not lay sin at their doorstep, not accusations, not condemn them. We weren't called to condemn them. He didn't condemn us. Why did he tell those stories about, you know, the person that owed you know, $50,000 or whatever it was, and the one that owed $50 or whatever, you know. Listen, I'm just making it in modern terms. And he said, you know, he asked Peter, he asked the disciples, he said, well, who will love me most? And he said, well, the one who you forgave the most, you know. And you know, the thing about it is that we have to realize that those people like that that say they don't know the Lord and stuff, Scripture says he is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That light is inside of them. They just don't know it yet. They haven't come to the realization of it. They don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know that God has called them to be a son of God. Yeah. That he wants them to recognize their birth. And the way the Lord showed that to me one time was I was sitting watching the Prince and the Pauper movie. And God just started dealing with me. One was a prince and one was a pauper. They were identical twins, you know, and they switched places. and the one that was the pauper dressed and started acting like he was the prince. And the prince went and became the pauper. Scripture says, though he was rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor.
Yes.
And the Lord gave me a poem about that one time about, you know, rich was he, yet poor he became, for he loved you so much, he even bore your shame.
Yes.
For not only did he die upon Calvary's tree, but he left the splendor of heaven to set all captives free. The sacrifice he made was one without compare, for he left the glory of heaven, his love for all to share. And you ask, oh, how is this wondrous gift applied to even me? For he brought you from the realms of death to that of eternity. And you ask, oh, how do I receive this gift? And the answer is simple, you see. For if by faith you'll humble your heart, you'll receive peace and harmony.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of humbling yourself and realizing where you are, you know. And that's what we're supposed to be out there telling people. Mm-hmm. You've already been forgiven. All you have to do is receive the forgiveness. You know, you're walking in a mistaken identity. You're walking in the identity of a sinner, and he took the sins of the whole world. And that was the past world and the future world.
Yes.
And the present world. You know. Well, praise the Lord. Sorry, I'm on a roll this morning. A lot of time.
You know, I wondered to myself, you mentioned that verse before about there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. That's the way it is with those people.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's the way it is with those people that are in our lives.
Right.
They don't live the way they live because they are evil people. No. They live the way they live because the way they live seems right to them. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And that brings me right back to the little bee. That little bee. He sees what he wants to get it. But there's a way that seems right to him, and he keeps hitting his head against the glass.
Right.
And and it ends in death.
Yeah.
And that brings me to, not only did Jesus come, he almost, you can say, he became a bee.
Yeah.
So that he could speak the language of that being and show it the way out.
Right.
He became like a bird to
right.
a bird. So he could show that bird.
Right.
And he became a man to us.
To show us the way.
To show us the way. To become the way. To be the way.
Right.
What a beautiful, you know, that just shows you in such an easy
yeah.
way how Jesus is.
Yeah.
If I could only speak their language. Because they're afraid. It's the fear. Because of that darkness brings fear. And I can see in Jenny, there's so much fear. And that's why the way she feels seems right under her.
She'll call me and she'll say, I just need to hear your voice.
Yeah.
I just need to hear your voice.
Can I tell you something?
And you know, and to me, it's like, the frustration of it.
Let me just tell you this, and maybe this will help you, and maybe it won't. But you know, I've shared this testimony before. When I was a pretty young Christian, I was sitting in church one Sunday. This guy come in, and he felt like he needed to get up on the platform and talk. And some of the people knew him. I didn't really know him. I was a pretty young Christian. And anyway. He said that he had a neighbor girl and that she had went crazy. I mean, she just lost it and went totally crazy. And they put her in Longview. You know, that's when Longview Hospital used to be down there, and it's not there anymore. But anyway, they put her in Longview. And he said that when the psychiatrist and them, you know, analyzed her and all that, they basically said she was gone. There was just basically almost no hope for this girl. Well, when she's, and please don't take this in the wrong way. I'm not in any way trying to puff me up because I had nothing to do with this other than being obedient to what God told me to do. And I'm sitting there, and I'm a young Christian, and I can't hardly wait to get home and start praying for that girl. I mean, I'm just, I didn't understand how all that stuff worked back then. You know what I mean? Or I should have just done it right then, right there. But when I got home, I went in my room and closed the door and, you know, in the darkness, and I started praying. And I felt an authority come over me, and I rebuked that spirit of insanity off that girl. And I began to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, that's what's going to start happening, I believe, as we move in. There's going to be times when we're going to run into things. And God's going to give us the authority. And you can only do this stuff when God gives you the authority. Because otherwise, you know, it's you trying to do something. But if God is inspiring you. And I came out of that room after a while, and I told Margaret, I said, man, if I know the voice of the Lord, I said, that girl's going to be okay. And I went to church the next Sunday, and I thought, well, that guy's going to come busting in here and give me a testimony. He didn't come in. But a week later, he did come in. And you could tell he was just busting at the seams. Now, what I should have done, because I was a young Christian and I didn't really understand, that next Sunday, I should have testified as to what God had me do. You know, and I didn't do that because I was kind of very backward. you know, I didn't want to get up in front of people and all that kind of stuff. And what ended up happening was the second week, that guy came in there, and you could see he was just busting at the seams when he came in there. And he said, I have to get up and testify. And he said, you know that young girl that I had you guys pray for? He said, she snapped out of it. He said, she's back home, and she's fine. And I was really thrilled, but I also felt a little bit under condemnation because I didn't come and testify about that, that the Lord had me do that. And see, we need to make sure that people understand we've been given authority in God. We have authority in Him as the Spirit moves upon us. Now, I'm not saying just jump out and start doing stuff unless you feel God is telling you to do that. Well, buddy, when He's telling you to do that, you're not responsible for the results. You're only responsible for being obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. You know, and I tell you what, and I'm going to say that even for your daughter, pray about it. And if you feel the Lord give you a rise up with an authority in you, what's the scripture say? Whatsoever things you bind on earth will be bound where? Whatsoever things you loose on earth will be loosed where? All right. We need to start claiming the word of God. Your word declares that, Lord. And you know, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we allow people to stay in a bad situation when maybe, you know, maybe we shouldn't, you know. And I'm not saying that you guys have done that, but I'm just saying when you're praying, man, if you feel the anointing come on you and you begin to feel the presence of God real strong, take authority and begin to rebuke it. You don't have to be there. You remember what happened when the man of authority came to Jesus and he told Jesus, he said, hey, he says, my servant, you know, is sick and they're you know, they're dying or whatever. And he said, you know, Jesus said, I don't know if Jesus said, do you want me to come or something? He said, no. Speak the word only. You're a man of authority. And I understand that. When I say to one go, he goes. And when I say to another one come, he comes. And as the authority of God begins to rise up in His people, and they begin to proclaim and to speak the word of God with power and authority, things will happen. It'll happen. And let me tell you what. I know that was God's way of showing me, maybe that's not going to happen every time, but you do it when you feel like you want me to do it. Now, I will tell you this. When I went to bed that night, I had the ugliest, awfulest dreams I could have possibly had all night long. It was like I was wrestling with something. And I actually woke myself up saying, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar, you know. And I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, because it just felt like there was almost like evil in that room, in my room, at my house. But I'm telling you what, when God gives you the authority is there. And do what the Lord tells you to do when He tells you to do it. And if you guys feel sometime when you're praying, you feel the anointing coming on you strong, and you feel like you're supposed to rebuke that thing in her life, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And leave it with Him. It's up to Him. He's the one that does it. You don't do it, you know.
What is her name?
Mike. Mike?
No, her name. Her name. Did you want her name?
Oh, her name? Jennifer.
Okay, well, I think it's probably time. Yeah. That clock is a little bit slow. Who would like to close this in prayer?
Let me just thank you for what we've heard in this room today. This Bible study, we just give you the praise and the glory, Father. And we leave all things into Your hands, Father. For You are Lord of all, and all things must bow to You. Father, we pray that the main sanctuary will bring forth Your word, and we'll have our hearts to open, our ears and mind to what You are saying, Father. Just take it all into ourselves, Lord, and give You praise for it. For we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.